It's a ticket flashback. 10 years of ticket history. Brought to you by Tanqueray 10 on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket.
1995.
The year began with the Cowboys going brain dead. They fall behind 21-0 in the first 7 minutes of the NFC Championship game in San Francisco, seeing their shot at a three-peat go up in smoke. The 49ers go on to win the Super Bowl. Just 1 week later, on January 24th, O.J. Simpson's murder trial starts in Los Angeles. It would capture the attention of the nation until the stunning not guilty verdict is launched by an estimated 150 million people on October 3rd. One of the benchmarks of Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket, is created in February of 1995. It's the dawn of ticket stock, the first one held at the Dallas County Convention Center. Some big changes take place at The Ticket in 1995. The Wild Irish Laddie, Mike Thompson, comes on board as program director in August, and among his first moves is canning Skip Bayless and replacing him with Dunham and Miller in the morning. Chris Arnold also comes on board to replace Kurt Menefee in 95. And don't forget the memorable date of December 13th, when yours truly, Rich Phillips, was added to the Ticket ticker staff. The Ticket was on hand at the ballpark for the first baseball All-Star game ever in Arlington. It was a Major League season that almost had no All-Stars, as owners put on spring training with replacement players, only to settle the strike at the 1st of April and start the season about 3 weeks late. But the World Series did return after a one-year hiatus, the dominant Braves winning their only title of the 90s. The Mavericks turned back the clock, hiring Dick Motta to coach again. They finished the 1994-95 season with an improbable 36 wins thanks to the three J's. Hakeem Olajuwon of the Rockets make quick work of Shaquille O'Neal and the Magic, Houston sweeping to their second straight NBA title. April 19th was the most tragic day of the year, as close to 200 people were killed in the bombing of the Oklahoma City Federal Building. We also saw the deaths of Howard Cosell, Mickey Mantle, the Grateful Dead's Jerry Garcia, and Tejano superstar Selena. It all happened in the Ticket's second year, 1995.
Coming up again at 1:50, it's another Ticket flashback to the year 1996. Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket, is 10.
The Ticket!
We're partying like it's our birthday. Live from the Hard Rock Cafe. Brought to you by Miller Lite, Dodge, Tanqueray, and Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket!
12:57 is the time. This is Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. We are out here at the Hard Rock Cafe. It is the turning 10 of the Little Ticket. The actual day is tomorrow, but we're blowing it all out today.
Well, we're patting ourselves on the back, aren't we?
Well, hey, this is our day.
It is.
Somebody's got a problem with it, then tune in Monday. Things will be back to normal. It'll be sports and all that implies as usual on that day. But today, this is the day for looking back a little bit and not so much ahead.
And anybody else, when they do 10 years, then they can do the same thing.
Sure they can.
But until then, you know, put some space between them.
Right. Well, on our phone now, Grego, is a man who was so very instrumental in the getting the Little Ticket up and running. In fact, not only was he instrumental in getting the Little Ticket up and running, he was instrumental in the conceptualizing of the thing. Without his involvement, history probably takes a different course. And it may be an exaggeration to call him a family friend, as he was referred to in the Richie Whitt article in the Star Telegram today, but he was and is still a friend of mine and my family. He is Jeffrey Dunbar, and he joins us from Colorado, where he teaches school up there these days, a very, very noble pursuit. Jeffrey, how are you?
I'm fine, Ryan. How are you?
We're doing well. Doing well. Thinking of you on this biggest of days down here with the Little Ticket. And appreciate you taking time from teaching school to pop on with us.
Well, you know, it's a big anniversary there, the 10th anniversary, and it's just wonderful that it seems like 10 short years that it just started.
Yeah. It's, you know, I was telling somebody today that it's just been great to have been on the ground floor of something that's been this good for this long. And that's, I mean, it doesn't happen every day in this business, as you well know.
Well, as you and Gregor were just saying, if anybody gets a chance to do something for 10 years and do it as well as the Ticket has been done, then they have a right to pat themselves on the back.
Now, this probably all came about because our kids were in the same daycare situation. That's how Jeffrey and I met.
This is a great story.
Yeah. Jeffrey and I met because our kids, who were 2 years old at the time and now are in high school.
And driving.
Well, yours is driving. Mine's not quite there yet, but she'll get there before long.
She will.
They were 2 years old. They were in the same daycare situation. And it just so happens that while Jeffrey and I are both crotchety, and we think that while we're basically on board with the concept of people screw it up. Our wives are quite the opposite. They're both very outgoing. They're both very gregarious. They both meet people very easily and very well. And that's pretty much what happened. One day, our wives and kids are both at the park. They start talking to each other. Come to find out, the kids go to the same daycare, and we just... That's the root of this whole thing when you get right down to it, isn't it?
That's exactly how it happened, and, you know, it became a concept and a thought, and we started talking as being old radio guys and thinking, gosh, Dallas-Fort Worth needs an all-sports station, but we thought nobody would do it, so we thought, let's try it ourselves and see if we can pull it off, and over the next couple of years, that's kind of what happened.
Yeah, and at that time, sports radio, hardly an original idea. It was in most big markets all across the nation, but the prevailing thought was that it couldn't be done here. It just wouldn't work for a number of reasons.
They thought it wouldn't work because there were many sports shows on the current stations, 1080 and 820 and 570, all had sports shows, and all had different affiliation with sports teams, and the prevailing thought was if you didn't have an affiliation with a professional sports team, it just would not work. But being two stubborn old grumpy guys, we thought, well,
let's do it anyway.
Let's try it anyway.
Yeah, fools that we are, we just said, let's do it anyway.
Let's just try it, and so let's find a station, and that's kind of how it began.
Yep, and during those days, as I've been telling a lot of people in recent days, there's quite a bit of stopping and starting with this thing, wasn't there?
Oh, there was a tremendous amount of stopping and starting. First, it was, let's go see if we could convince somebody to do it. And that didn't work. And then we thought, well, maybe we ought to look for a station. And we looked at all the stations in the area and thought, gosh, nobody's going to sell us a station. And then Mike had a thought, well, you know, he's kind of doing sports a little bit on 1310. That was big band at that time. But being owned by Bonneville and the Mormons out of Utah, they never sold anything. So we thought, well, let's approach them. And so we did. And it stopped and started and stopped and started.
Yeah, there were a lot of stops and starts in those days. There's no doubt about that. But in the end, they listened to what we had to say, and we wound up with the 1310 frequency, which was not in real good shape at that time. But
no, you could sometimes barely hear it, particularly up in the northern reaches of the county.
Yeah, it's something we still fight, but there have been quite a few improvements on it since then.
You know, one of the things I remember, Mike and Grego, as we were putting this thing together, was trying to figure out the personalities that needed to be involved in it and how it would work, and the many lunches we had at the Good Eats Cafe over there.
Oh, yes,
there,
the ticket commissary.
Yes.
I had a couple lunch meetings there.
Yes, you did. You know, and I always remember Mike always... They always had to hold the croutons and the sprouts on his salads.
Right.
And Jeff, that holds true to this day.
That's right. We still roll crouton and sprout free, Jeffrey.
You know, so it, and then just trying to put things together. And I think it at one time it was, gosh, just try to get a station and only do it, you know, for a few hours a day, because Norm had such a great dominant point. In the morning, we thought, gosh, how can we compete with Norm? And but then we threw that away and said, if you're going to do it, let's just do it all
Norm
full bore.
And that's what we wound up going with, and everybody is better off for it.
Yeah, definitely. And Dallas-Fort Worth and the nation is better off for it because, you know, as the ticket has proved, you don't have to always talk sports to be a sports station.
Right. Many are trying to do that out there.
And I just think it's and look at what the ticket has spawned. Once the ticket was there and mature, they all have some competition, or at least what people think is competition in the sports business there in Dallas-Fort Worth, but I don't know. I don't ever hear them show up, so the little ticket is still a little ticket.
Yeah, we've gone in 10 years. Dallas has gone in 10 years from no sports stations to three.
Yeah. But I guess if imitation means anything, that pretty much tells you all you need to know about it.
That definitely does, you know, and it's kind of unique that you and Greg are on from 11 to 2 right now, kind of like it started.
That's right, just back in the old days.
You know, we used to send you out to remotes because people said, gosh, we don't have much of a budget, let's go out and put them out there on the street, and sure enough, all those P1s kept coming and coming and coming.
You know what, Jeff? That was one of your ideas originally, and I still credit that with a lot of the success because we were able to get out there because, you know, we didn't have a lot of money to advertise. Nobody knew who we were. They didn't find us. But we went out on the street and found everybody, and that was your idea, getting us out there doing these remotes.
Well, you know, and here you are today at the Hard Rock doing another remote. And I would say probably in some of those remotes, it was standing room only, almost from day one.
Well,
I remember old Mike Maroney always trying to find food in the morning and in the afternoon. And sometimes it was very unique food, if I remember correctly.
Yes, it was. Well, 10 years, the thing's still going strong today. Hey, Jeffrey, good to talk to you. We appreciate the visit. And all right, very good, Jeffrey. We'll talk to you later, man.
Thank you, Michael. Thanks, Grego.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Jeffrey Dunbar, one of the founders of the radio station, joins us here on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Without him, we're not here.
No,
we're not here.
Pure and simple. It is 107. Now, coming up next, back in the day, in the very first days of The Ticket, you had the very unique situation of two broadcast entities owned by two different ownership groups sharing space. That caused problems, real issues. And next we will speak to a man whose assignment it was to police that. However, in the course of policing it, he came over to the other side. He will join us next here on The Ticket.